Sunday nights we've been going through. We started last week and down but not out. And sometimes feeling a little bit down, but we're not out. We keep on a trucking. Job is a great example. And chapter one, an amazing story unfolds that this man, very wealthy, very well going, his whole life was going well. And all of a sudden the Lord decides to allow some trial into his life and some problems, to say the least. And you know the story, I won't read all, but his sons and daughters have a get together and they all die. His sheep, his cattle, all those things, they all are either taken or killed. And he even goes to the point that he is cursed, or he is stricken with a disease, and he has all kinds of ailments. Notice verse 20. Let's go there. Then Job arose and rent his mantle, shaved his head, fell down upon the ground, and worshipped, and said, "Naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." In all this Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. Wonderful story there to read, but a tremendous testimony of a man that stood true to his God and did not give in, did not quit on God in the midst of discouragement. We looked at discouragement last week, but also have something this week more to do with defeat in the Christian life. Defeat. We're supposed to be living for God. You know that. We're on the winning side and we're supposed to be successful, but we're not always successful in God's will. He does allow things into our lives to discourage us and things to defeat us in order to get us maybe to a position that he's trying to work in our lives. But defeat can be a true thief in our lives of our joy and our happiness if we allow it to. You know, I think about that. And just going through, the missionary one time was visiting his people, and he was going, and it was a small village. He was going from hut to hut visiting the different folks and trying to invite new people to his missionary work that he was doing, and him and his family. And nobody would listen. Nobody wanted to come to church. Nobody wanted to be a part. Nobody wanted to even listen to what he had to say as he presented the gospel. And he was just defeated. And he got alone and he started to pray, "Lord, is this what you wanted me to do? Nothing seems to be working. Nothing seems to be moving forward at all, Lord. And I feel like maybe I'm not doing something right." And he was just defeated. And he was going forth. And he went out the next day and he was making some visits. And he came to the house of a leper man. And the man was just messed up. He had lost his fingers and his face was all deformed and he was just covered in sores. And he looked at the missionary and said, "Thank you for coming. We have been waiting for somebody to come like you. We've been waiting for somebody to give us the gospel and tell us the truth." And he thought about that and he said, "You know what? That man should be the one defeated, not me," right? He has nothing. He's poor as dirt and he is emaciated and has disease-stricken body, and yet he's waiting for the truth. And he said in this account given that he was just renewed with a new vigor to keep doing and working for God. And sometimes God allows that into our lives, doesn't he? Maybe circumstances or people into our lives to come in and say, "Boy, you know what? I don't have it as bad, and I shouldn't be as defeated." But defeat does come. I like this quote, "Many mistake two words, forfeit and defeat." Forfeit and defeat. To be defeated doesn't mean you have to forfeit. You don't have to throw it in. You have to give up. And Job, as we see the great story here, he makes the statement and says, "Listen, I came into this world with nothing, and I'll leave with nothing. And in the midst of everything, whether good, bad, or ugly, blessed be the name of the Lord. And blessed be his name, and glorifying God's name in all that we do, in all that we say." And thinking through that Job was a man that could truly be labeled defeated, to say the least. Everything he had and loved and cherished was taken away from him, was removed from his life. Thinking about working and ministering in the midst here in this time that we're going through. I had a couple people ask me the missions conference just recently, "Are you guys feeling defeated in a way? Or discouraged," one person put it. And I said, "No, not really. You know, we started out and we had no idea the pandemic was coming when we planted the church or started to work towards the church building and all of those things." And I said, but God's in control. And he knows that we needed this time. And we needed this waiting period to maybe root, drive our roots a little deeper, get a little bit more grounded, and all of that before we maybe begin to build or whatever the case would be. And I replied in that way, and they thought, one lady said, oh, I didn't think about it that way. And I said, that's truly, I believe God is doing there. But as we minister, if we're not careful, we can become, as you know, maybe a little bit discouraged or defeated. And we see that. We see in the life of many of God's dear saints throughout the scriptures, men and women that were once maybe a little defeated or even discouraged, and they kept on going. The Bible says that Jesus went just a little further, didn't he? A little further. There in the garden, he could have stopped. He could have, we heard the song the other day, and I love the song. He could have called 10,000 angels, and he could have destroyed the world. He could have cast all of those wicked men immediately into hell. But he didn't do it. Why? Because he came to fulfill his purpose, didn't he? He came to this earth to seek and to save that which was lost. And oh, I think about that. Tonight, we look at this man. Now, a couple things about his life just here. First, notice he assessed the situation. He assessed the situation. He assessed it, letter A I have here. He assessed it spiritually. If you're like me, sometimes I can assess a situation unspiritually, and it's not a good thing, and it's a discouraging thing, and it's assessment of a frustration or anger or whatever it would be. It's when we're defeated, we have a higher chance of acting unspiritual in situations, unspiritual. He didn't lose his temper, didn't curse God, didn't play self-pity, which he rightfully could have done, you know that, and no one would have judged him for it. Said, boy, he's going through all of this. I can't believe he has such a bad attitude. You know, no, he lost all of his kids. His wife told him to curse God and die. All of his assets were gone, basically. And no one would have judged this man. But notice he simply arose. Verse 20. Then Job arose. He arose. Thinking through this, he got up and did something about it, if you will. I think about Ruth, it's said of Ruth, that she arose and went with Naomi. And you remember her and her sister-in-law, basically, and went, and she said, daughters, don't follow me. I have no more sons I can bear to give to you. And they said, no, we'll follow you. We want to go. We want to leave you a little old lady alone. And she said, no, go back. And the one went back, didn't she? Well, Ruth said, no, I'm going to stay. And she said, your God will be my God. Your God, my God. And you think about, she arose and she did something about the situation, if you will. Assessing it spiritually. Are we preparing now, spiritually, for maybe some defeats that are coming ahead? Are we preparing now, spiritually? What a convicting thought to think. Am I preparing my heart now, spiritually, to handle the defeats that are coming Monday and Tuesday and then Wednesday and maybe next year and maybe 20 years from now? There's some defeats that may come, disappointments come, but I'm prepared spiritually now, if you will. Psalm 51, David said, against thee and thee only have I sinned. Notice that. Personal responsibility. As we think, spiritual assessment. Secondly, he assessed it realistically. Realistically. He goes forth, and you understand the story that takes place, and his friends come, and they begin to try and help him and encourage him. Notice chapter 2, if you will, if you're still there, chapter 2, verse 9, he says, Then said his wife unto him, dost thou still retain thine integrity? Curse God and die. I feel sorry for his wife, by the way. People really get on the wife of Job's wife. I feel sorry for her. You would think, boy, man, she's going through a hard, she just lost all of her kids. Curse God and die. Notice, but he said unto her, thou speakest as one of the foolish women speak. What? Shall we receive good at the hand of God? And shall we not receive evil? And all this did not Job sin with his lips. Again, what an amazing man, isn't he? God does whatever he wants to do. Am I special in a way of, I never have to go through anything. I never have any problems or trials or difficulties in life. And the answer is no. You think about God can do anything he wants to do in our lives. But Job is assessing the situation realistically, thinking, am I better than others? And you're often like me. We often think that way. oh, it won't happen to me. I'm doing pretty well. In fact, if you recall back the time when you first accepted the gospel, you thought to yourself, I'm fine. I don't need the gospel. What for? What do I need to be saved from? I'm a pretty good person. I don't really do anything bad. I'm not a real habitual sinner. I've never killed anybody. You think about that, but it had to come to a point in your life where someone showed you from Scripture that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, that all are under the enmity that's described in Ephesians 2 of God. The wrath of God abides upon us, as John the Baptist said in John chapter 2 and 2. Is it 2? And he said the wrath of God abides upon us. No, chapter 3. And so you think about, he assessed it realistically. He assessed it faithfully. Faithfully, we must stay close to the Lord, obviously, in these times. It's natural to let go and let us get away from Him in a way. We must stay faithful. Is when we move away from the Lord, it's in times of defeat, often. We'll move away, we'll step back, we'll let things go, if you will. Stay faithful. But he assessed the situation. It comes back to this. And again, assessing it through the lens of the Scriptures. That's the key, isn't it? The lens of the Scriptures. Taking it and assessing and looking through the Bible and saying, is this what's right? Is this the way I should act? Is this the way I should react to this? What should I do and how should I handle it? Notice number 2, though. He acknowledged God's control. God's control. He knew that God was there, working and controlling every thing. Again, chapter 1, verse 21, he says, the Lord gave, the Lord hath taken away. The Lord hath taken away. Thinking about this, first of all, he has nothing apart from God. Nothing apart from God. The sooner we get a hold of that and grasp that, I wish I would have got a hold of that at a younger age in my life, that, again, I have nothing apart from God. Nothing. He owns everything. He controls everything. And again, by His grace, He allows me to breathe, and each heartbeat He allows me to have in my life. And you think about that, as we get older, the more things we accumulate and the more relationships we develop around us, God is working in all of that. But Job says, naked came I in and naked go I out. I have nothing apart from God. Again, a wonderful connection with Romans 12. I said it this morning, but Paul says, present your bodies. That's all we have. That's all we have. That's all we, if we want to even put some ownership on it, that's all we own is our body. And you think about that. God says, listen, I own you and I want to use you. Isn't it an amazing thing that what God created would turn around and curse Him and deny Him? That's one of the hardest things I think about that would grieve God the most, obviously. But I think about how devastating that is. You were to create something out of love, and that thing turn around and curse you and tell you, I want nothing to do with you. And God is at work, we know that. But thinking about, back to this, I have nothing apart from Him. The Lord has discretion to do what He wants in my life. The Lord gave, notice, and the Lord takes away. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. He can do what He wants. Job understood that. Excuse me. Many scholars believe Job is probably the oldest book of the Old Testament. So you think about this. Job could possibly predate Abraham. He could possibly predate other characters. And you think that this man had such an understanding of the Scripture, understanding of the Bible, understanding, if we will, of God Himself and the principles of God and the way God works. Isn't that amazing? And this obviously was before the Scriptures. And Job had an understanding of who God was. This is us today, humanity, we have no excuses. Well, I don't know who God is. I don't know how He works. I don't know what He wants from me. That's a lie. We not only have God and the work of God, we have the Scriptures. We call that the Word of God, the revelation of God. It's called special or specific revelation is given to us in the Scriptures. And that's a precious thing that we ought to have. But again, He has discretion in my life. He gives, He takes away. Whatever He chooses, I know is for my benefit. He has my best interest in mind, as we already said. And he says this, and he ends it with, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. What a wonderful, wonderful statement as we think about, do we bless the name of the Lord in all that we do? Let me say thirdly here, he aligned his heart to God's plan. So he assessed the situation, he acknowledged God's control, and he aligned his heart to God's plan. Notice verse 22 of chapter 1. One more time he says, in all this Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. So there was an understanding of sin, even as this old, many call archaic book of Job. Sin was there, and an understanding of sin, and all of that that came with it. He aligned his heart, though, to God's plan. He gave into that plan. I heard one testimony of a man said that a friend of his was trying to reach him with the gospel for year and year and year, and he never received it. And a friend finally said to him, listen, when are you going to allow God to have control of your life? And he said, I don't want God to have control of my life. I want to control my life. And he said, you need to just give in to God and let him have control, because the way you're running your life is a wreck. And he thought about it and he said, it is a wreck. The way I'm controlling and managing and stewarding my own life is a mess. I'm unhappy. My relationships are falling apart. I'm broke as a joke. He went down the list, you know. And he thought about it and he said, you know what? Maybe I will give God a chance. And he said at that moment, he asked the Lord personally to take control and manage basically his own life. And later he would come obviously to the saving knowledge of Christ through that. But Job aligned his heart to God's sovereign plan. He aligned his heart permanently. In all of this, notice, it will take a daily, sometimes minute by minute, alignment to God's plan. We want to know the why and how of what and what of things often. Why it's happening, why the defeat has come, why this thing is happening in my life, etc. God maybe doesn't show that to us all the time, does he? But I aligned my heart to that several years ago. I think I've said this before, but we had bought a vehicle, and that vehicle was a lemon. I'll put it that. It was a lemon, and we sent it to the mechanic. The mechanic couldn't figure it out. Everyone's had a something like that in their lives, but this one, we couldn't figure it out. And I prayed and I said, Lord, what should we do? How do we do it? Blah, blah, blah. What's the next steps? And finally, we went through it was about 6 months or so, and we finally sold that thing, got rid of it. And I kept waiting for God to reveal the why of it. Tim, I was trying to show you this. Or Tim, I wanted you to get to this point. And it never came. I didn't know why. And I still don't know why today. This is a very simple example, but the why to it. And I thought about, God doesn't have to explain that to me, does he? He doesn't have to tell me the why of what's going on in my life. He's in control. And that's what Job said. Job said, listen, he's in control. His wife says, well, don't you want to know the why? Why would he take our kids, and why would he destroy our finances and family business? Why would he take everything from us? Why would you be stricken with a cancerous disease? And Job says, not really. I mean, I would like to know, but I ultimately know that God's in control. He didn't charge God foolishly. Charge God, notice that. People shake their fist at God, charging God foolishly. He even had a close and supposedly spiritual friendship of several men, as you know. They began to tell him the wrong. They began to accuse Job of pride and sin, didn't they? And these men were spiritual men, quote unquote, spiritual. The people around him that said, Job, listen, something's wrong. You're not right with God. You're disobeying his word. You're not following through. Your pride is in the way. You need to repent of those things. And Job said, no, it's not. It's not. I'm trusting God. I'm trusting him. And Job ended up literally alone, as you read the story of Job. He was a lonely man. And again, the more spiritual you become, the lonelier you can get. He didn't play the blame game. He didn't charge God. Adam and Eve played the blame game, didn't they? He said, what have you done? Eve said it was a snake. Or the man said it was Eve, and Eve said it's a snake. Down the line it goes. He comes to Cain, and Cain says, what am I, my brother's keeper? What, do you want me to babysit the guy all the time? I don't know where he is. You think about the blame game today of America. Everyone's blaming somebody for their problems, aren't they? Blaming somebody for what's going on. Palestinians are blaming the Jews, and the Jews are sending back some blame towards them, rightfully so, and other things. And we think about all that, our welfare system and all those things. It's a blame game constantly around us, and
Time to take ownership, really. And the first step is owning up. God, it's me. I understand that. He didn't, notice this, allow defeat to lead him to sinful habits. He sinned not. You know, defeat and discouragement can often lead to sinful habits, can lead to sinful things that we get involved with, especially in the mind and with the mouth and things we say and things we think about and all of those things. And even getting involved with sinful things. Why? Because we've been defeated. Things didn't work out like we should have. Discouragement, failure, all these things can cause us to turn. But notice Job said, it says of Job, he sinned not. So we think about here, from time to time, we'll be down, but we don't have to be out. You know that. Being down is not always because of our choice. And so we think about God's given us the victory through Christ, through Him. In fact, let's go there and we'll wrap it up here. 1 Corinthians 15. 1 Corinthians 15. And we will wrap her up here. Notice this. I love this portion of Scripture. As Paul is leaving and encouraging this church, as he's kind of parting ways with them. And he says, 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 57, "But thanks be to God which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." The victory. Present. "Therefore, my beloved brethren, because of that victory, steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord." Notice, "for as much as ye know, your labor is not in vain in the Lord." Your labor is not in vain. To think when we're defeated, we live for God, we go, well, it's in vain. I've been doing all that, nothing's come of it. I'm faithful to church and leading my family and serving Him and faithful in doing what He wants me to do and putting myself out there and oftentimes taking ridicule and accusations from people for standing for Christ. And Paul says here, "Know that your labor is not in vain." Why? We have the victory in Christ, don't we? It's already there. Present tense, the victory. It doesn't say take a break, notice. It doesn't say when you get discouraged and defeated, just sit back and take a little break. Rest a little bit. Meditate on your problems. What's he say? He says, because of the victory, be steadfast. And then he says, unmovable. Always abounding in the work of the Lord. That means growing and moving and going forward. And that's the coming back to what Job arose, it says. He got up and he assessed his situation. And he said, you know what? I'm going to assess it spiritually. I'm going to assess it practically and realistically. I'm going to next acknowledge God's control and sovereign work in my life and know that He has His best interests in mind and my best interests in mind. And then thirdly, we're going to align our heart to God's plan and not charge God and not sin, but we're going to align our hearts to God and say, God, align my heart. Take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to Thee. Take my lips, take my feet, let them move at the impulse of Thy love. Oh, I love that song. But you think about it, we're aligning our hearts to God's plan and letting Him have His will and way in our lives. I don't know where you're at tonight or where you're going through, but stay the course. And remember, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding. But why, Paul? I can't get up one more time. It's too difficult. Why? We have the victory. It's already there, the victory. We're on the winning side of Jesus Christ. Amen. All right, Lord, thank You for a time this evening to look at the life very briefly of Job here. And just seeing some things here, how He assessed it. He gave You full control and He aligned His heart, Lord, to You. And Lord, strengthen us to do so. Boy, again, I said this morning, but it's as easy to say and often hard to do and implement into our lives. But Lord, we need Your strength to show You strong, Lord, in our lives, on our behalf, Your power, Your strength. Lord, help us to do so. And again, Lord, help us to be the testimony, witness we're commanded to be. And Lord, give us the wisdom to do so and the discernment as well. Help us to stay in our Bibles this week, Lord. Help us to get in our and stay faithful in our prayer time. And Lord, give us the wisdom in all of that, God. In Jesus' precious name, we do pray these things again. And amen. And amen.